Ecclesiastes chapter 7, as we continue in our study of Ecclesiastes. And I'm going to look at the whole chapter, and I've titled the lesson tonight, How to Be Better Off. How to Be Better Off. So in chapter 7 and 8, Solomon is going to discuss the importance of wisdom in life. Now, the word wisdom, the word wise, the word wisely, those three words are found 18 times in these next two chapters. So the main theme of these two chapters is wisdom. Solomon will now answer the question of chapter 6, verse 12, where we left off. The two questions there, he says in chapter 6, 12, for who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? So he seeks to answer these questions. And Solomon concludes that though wisdom can't answer everything and explain all life's mysteries and questions, it can make at least three positive contributions to our life. And we'll see that. Also, the word better. Remember how to be better off. The word better is also a key word in this chapter, which is used 8 times. So wisdom and better are key words in this chapter. And so let's look at it. The notes are in the front and back if you didn't get it. I've divided it up into three parts. Wisdom can make life better, verses 1 to 10. Wisdom helps us to see life clearly, verses 11 to 18. And wisdom helps us face life stronger and without fear, verses 19 to 29. So notice, wisdom can make life better. And an interesting statement in verses 1 to 4. Sorrow is better than laughter. Sorrow is better than laughter. Notice verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Now, this is a pretty interesting statement. And why would Solomon say this? Now remember, how are we looking at life from the book of Ecclesiastes? Under the sun, okay? It's life without God. And life without God is what? Vanity of vanities. It's empty, okay? So you and I, as believers, we set our affections on things that are above, okay? But Solomon is examining life from a human perspective, under the sun. So he says that a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Now, name and ointment in the original language of Hebrew rhyme. Now, we don't get it in the English. Okay, so there's a play on words here. So it's like a poem that rhymes. And actually what he's saying, you know, a funeral is better than a birthday party. Okay? Now, why in the world would he say that? How can we justify this verse with some of the verses that he wrote in Proverbs? Look at Proverbs 15, 13. Proverbs 15, 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. Chapter 15, verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. In chapter 17, 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So this doesn't seem to jive with what Solomon wrote in Proverbs. How Solomon was not saying death is better than life. But what he is doing is contrasting the day a person receives their name and the day that that name, if you will, appears in the obituary. Okay? So, when you go to a cemetery and you see on the cemetery plot, you see birthday, whatever it may be, and then you see the death day, whatever it may be. And what do they have in the middle? A dash. That's your life. There's actually a poem called The Dash that's written about that. But, you know, and that's what Solomon is trying to get us to understand here. The dash. What's between the birthday and the death day, and a good name, making a good name for yourself. The life between these two events will determine if the life lived was a lovely fragrance or a foul stench. Look at Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10 and verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. And 22:1. Proverbs 22:1. A good name is better to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So what Solomon is saying here is it's really important to make sure you live a good life so that when you leave this earth, you have that good name. A good name is better than precious ointment. You have a good reputation. Are people going to miss you when you're gone? Or are they going to say, good riddance, glad he's gone, you know? So that's what he's trying to get us to see here. And now look at verses 2 and 4. Look death in the face and learn from it. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all man, and the living will lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. So we see here, look death in the face and learn from it. You know, we should not avoid the reality of death. What does Moses tell us in Psalm 90, verse 12? Teach us to what? Number our days. You know, teach us to number. You know, we need to make sure we live the way we ought to live. And, you know, balance is important, is what he's saying here. Too much laughter or not being serious is not good. But also, too much focus on death is not good. You ever meet people that are just, you know, focus on, they've been dying all their life, you know, and but they're still here. That's not good. And too much laughter, you know, not being serious. So he's trying to get people to see the importance of being prepared for death, because everyone is going to die. And this phrase here in verse 2, at every funeral I do, I say, for this is the end of all, I use the word living, this is the end of all living, and may the living lay it to heart. Because here we are at a funeral, right? And here is an object lesson in a coffin before us. And it's lay it to heart. Listen to what the Bible says. Rebuke is better than praise, verses 5 and 6. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. So rebuke is better than praise. Now, again, we don't see it in the English, but in the Hebrew, there's another play on words here. The Hebrew word for song, pot, and thorn, they all rhyme. Okay, so it's, again, some Hebrew poetry here. And the praise of fools is like thorns in the fire. They make a lot of noise, but they don't last long. You ever throw pine needles in a fire? What's it do? But it doesn't last long. Makes a lot of noise. And that's what he says that the praise of fools is like. Don't listen to the praise of fools. It means nothing. It means nothing at all. And doesn't last long. But the rebuke of a wise person will accomplish more than the flattery of fools. Better to have a wise person rebuke you than to have a fool flatter you. Okay? And we don't need people, you know, like that to flatter us. The long haul is better than the shortcut. Beware of the shortcut or the easy way out. You ever follow somebody's shortcut? I know a shortcut. You know, and the next thing you know, it's a long cut. You know, or I know an easy way to do that. But Solomon tells us to beware. First, he tells us in verse 7 to beware of bribery. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. So again, beware of bribery. Beware of someone trying to bribe you, and do not bribe. Okay? A lot of times, you know, maybe the building inspector comes or something and you slip him a little extra something. Don't do that, you know. Don't do that. Beware of bribery. And then it's better to be patient and calm to the end, verses 8 and 9. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Isn't it great when a project is done? Isn't it great when a project is done? How many of you have more projects undone than done? Oh, the majority of us, okay? And when a project is finished, it's a great thing. Even if it's something as, you know, simple and as weekly as cutting the grass. You know, hey, the grass is cut, everything's weed whacked, the driveway's blown off, looks good for another 5 days or so, you know. But you know, the end of a thing is better. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. So it's better to be patient and calm and wait to the end. Some things take time. Patience is something that all of us need to work on. I do, anyway. I can't speak, I guess, for all of us. But, you know, and a lot of times when one is not patient, what is the emotion that shows? Anger. They get angry. So, of course, it's better. You're in it for the long haul. So let's just realize that. That would be much better off. And today is better than yesterday, verse 10. Say thou not, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Don't long for the good old days. They're gone. Okay? They're gone. I know sometimes I pick on my dad, but my dad is in an old car club, and I think it's called the Fossils or something like that. And, you know, they all think they're in high school again, and they got their all souped-up cars, and they have all these crude nights, and, you know, all these old gray heads go there and in their Corvettes and whatever, and you know, they try to relive their youth. The good old days are gone, okay? And you know, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow, it may never come. What do we have? Today. So we need to live today. And Solomon is reminding us today. So point number one, verses 1 to 10. Wisdom can make life better. Wisdom can make life better. Verses 11 to 18. Wisdom helps us to see life clearly. A lot of times people don't always see life clearly. They don't always see the big picture. And wisdom helps us to understand that and see the big picture. Now he mentions wealth. Wisdom helps us to see life clearly concerning wealth. Verse 11 and 12. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. So what is Solomon saying here? Money and wealth can lose its value, but wisdom keeps its value. Wisdom never loses its value. And we know that. I mean, what's the stock market been doing the last few days? Tanking, you know. And, you know, up and down. Currency is up and down. And, you know, one little thing happens and the markets react. Sometimes they react good. Sometimes they react bad. But wisdom, if you have wisdom, you know, you have something that is of great value and never loses its value. So seek to be wise. Wisdom helps us to see clearly concerning providence. Verse 13. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? So what is Solomon talking about here? He's reminding us the importance of getting in line with the will of God. Get in line with the will of God. You know, sometimes God's ways are crooked. It's not a straight path. It's uphill. It's windy. So follow him. Sometimes it's straight, right? The straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Follow him. But you can't try to straighten out something God has made crooked. You know, this path is just too difficult for me. I want to try to straighten it out. That, remember that shortcut? Don't take that shortcut. Follow God. Concerning adversity and prosperity, verse 14, wisdom helps us to see life clearly concerning adversity and prosperity. Verse 14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. Wisdom gives us perspective so that when adversity comes, we don't get thoroughly discouraged. And when prosperity comes, we don't get filled with pride. Wisdom helps balance that. I read a quote when preparing for this. Someone said, God gives us enough blessings to make us happy and enough burdens to keep us humble. So, you know, he balances the burdens with the blessings. And, you know, the blessings make us happy and the burdens keep us humble. And so we need to remember that. And what helps us in there? Wisdom. When adversity comes, we'll know how to handle it. When blessing comes, we won't be filled with pride. We'll thank God for it. And also, wisdom helps us to see life clearly concerning righteousness and wickedness. Verse 15. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. You know, one of the great mysteries of life that demands a mature and wise perspective is, why do the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper? You know, that's One of the things that we need God's wisdom for. Asaph asked the same question in Psalm 73. Why are your people, God, suffering and the wicked people go through life without a care? And then what did Asaph said? I went to the temple of God and I heard about their end. They may have a good life here, but that's all they'll have, you know. And again, it takes God's wisdom to understand that sometimes the righteous do suffer, but they suffer for a reason. They suffer for a cause. And a lot of times the wicked go through life with not even a ripple, you know, and they just go through life. If we need to be careful that, you know, if we're only looking at the prosperity of the wicked, we're taking a very short view of life. You know, we're only looking at the temporal things. We're not looking at things that are eternal. And let's understand that there are things that are eternal. So Solomon, look at verses 16 and 18. Is Solomon teaching moderation here? Kind of a play it safe. Look at verse 16 and 17. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? So Solomon is not saying here, you know, just don't be too righteous. Don't take this righteousness too far. But what he's actually warning us about is being self-righteous. Okay? What did Jesus say to the people in the Sermon on the Mount? Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise see the kingdom of God. Can you imagine how the people thought what they thought? Oh my goodness, look at these people. Look how righteous they are. But what was their righteousness? Self-righteousness. They were filled with pride. So that's what Solomon's warning us about here. And in verse 18, he's encouraging us to take hold of true righteousness. It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thy hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. So again, what should we do? Take hold of true righteousness. You know, the fear of the Lord, we understand, is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. So we've seen point number one, wisdom can make life better, verses 1 to 10. Wisdom helps us to see life clearly, 11 to 18. Now the last point, wisdom helps us face life stronger and without fear, verses 19 to 29. We will understand that we are all sinners. Look at verse 19 and 20. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So wisdom helps us to understand that all men are sinners. And if all men are sinners, then all men need a Savior. Okay? So wisdom helps us to see that. Wisdom helps us to not be self-righteous, but wisdom helps us to see how we need a Savior. Also, wisdom will help us understand what people say about us. Verses 21 and 22. Also, take no heed unto all the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. You know, a lot of people get upset when they hear somebody say something bad about them. But how many times have we said something bad about someone else? We don't even think about that. We don't like it. So wouldn't you think the other person wouldn't like it? So what Solomon is saying here, pay no attention to gossip and slander. Unwise, weak people are hurt by gossip and slander.
Did you hear what he said about me? You hear what he posted on Facebook about me?
You know, and people get all upset about these things. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. What's important is, what does God say about us? We will understand that we won't know everything that God is doing in the world also, verses 23 to 25. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. So what is Solomon saying here? We're not going to understand, even with wisdom, we're not going to have the answers to all of life's questions. We're not. You know, we'll have the answers to a lot of questions, and wisdom will help us so much more than it'll help the person without. But who knows the mind of God? Isaiah tells, who knows the mind of God? Who's been in his instructor? No one. Some things we just can't figure out. And that's okay. Let God be God. That's where we have to exercise what? Faith. Faith in what he's doing. And then verses 26 to 29, we will understand the sinfulness of humanity. 26. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands are bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. The way to escape the strange woman is wisdom that comes from the fear of the Lord. Solomon says he only found one wise man in a thousand when it came to this. And he didn't find any women. I think the number 1,000 here is significant. How many wives and concubines did Solomon have according to 1 Kings 11:3? 1,000. And I think he's talking about his wives and concubines. None of them were wise. And what are we told in 1 Kings? What happened to having all those wives and all those concubines? What did they do? They turned his heart away from God. How do we apply this chapter to our lives? You know, friends, there are many snares and temptations in this evil world that we live in. But the person with godly wisdom will have the power to overcome these temptations and snares. Solomon has proved his point. Wisdom can make our lives better. Wisdom can make our lives clearer. Wisdom can make our lives stronger. We may not fully understand all that God is doing, but we will have enough wisdom to live for the good of others and for the glory of God. Now remember also, friends, this little book is important for us to know, especially when we think of it as a tool for our evangelism today and a tool for our apologetics or defense of the faith, because a lot of people live this way. And especially in this chapter, there's a lot of people who are upset about words and what people are saying. A lot of people upset about, you know, they live a life of folly and they'd rather be laughing than thinking serious about something. I have a cousin that I frequently talk to, and whenever you talk to her about something serious, I don't want to talk about that. And this is what she says, it's too serious. Mm-hmm. It is. Which is why you should be talking about it. No, I don't want to talk about it. Folly. So there are people like this that we meet every day. So let's take what we learn from here. Remember, life under the sun. You know, you're going to see things here that seem like it contradicts the rest of the Bible. But Solomon is looking at life without God from a human perspective. And that's why he comes to the conclusion that everything is vanity, empty. Okay, so tonight, part of our Wednesday prayer is to pray for people that we're witnessing to, people that we're discipling. So break up into groups and do that. And And deacons, I need to see you in here, please. And